Over two centuries ago, it was England that taxed our tea. Now it's Brussels trying to regulate our companies. Under new European regulations, American businesses face crushing fines, forced disclosures, and foreign red tape that kills jobs here at home. America's laws should be written in America, not Brussels. Reject European regulatory overreach and uphold Trump's trade deal. Paid for by Americans for Limited Government.
मैडम ब्लिंकिट से ऑर्डर सर जोमैटो सर स्विगी से आपका ऑर्डर
28 डिलीवरीज 15 आवर्स 763 रुपीस लेट दोज नंबर्स सिंक इन फॉर अ सेकेंड नो इट्स नॉट अ टाइपो इट्स नॉट अ मिस्टेक It is the math of modern survival for millions of people in India. We're told we live in the era of digital India. We celebrate the unicorns, the Zomatos, the Swiggies, the Blinkits. For sure, they have revolutionized how we eat, how we shop, and how we live. We press a button, and 10 minutes later, a packet of milk or a bag of chips appears at our door as if by magic. But magic is just an illusion. And the reality behind that illusion was recently laid bare in a single viral image that shook the internet and reached the floor of the Indian Parliament. It is a reality of crushing targets, dangerous speeds, and a payout that amounts to roughly 50 rupees an hour. Today on Nelson John 360, let me strip away the sleek interface of the app to look at the human machinery grinding away underneath. We're talking about the gig economy, a term that sounds freeing, but for many, feels like a trap. I'm digging into the tweet, the ex-post by MP Raghav Chadha, that sparked a national debate. The legal battles being fought in Rajasthan and Delhi, and the terrifying psychology of the algorithms that decide if a worker eats or starves today.
You're listening to Nelson John 360.
Nelson John 360.
Hello and welcome back to Nelson John 360. I'm your host, Nelson John. So today, let's start with the incident that forced us all to look in the mirror. It began with a video and a screenshot shared by a Blinkit delivery partner named Thapliaji. It wasn't a polished PR statement. It was a desperate cry for validation. He posted his earnings for a single day. He had logged in, ridden his bike through the chaotic traffic of the city, climbed stairs, dodged cars, and raced against a timer for 15 hours. Let me play the snippet from his viral post. Have a listen.
ये मेरे आज के दिन का 28वां ऑर्डर है. Seriously बोल रहा हूँ मैं. लिफ्ट से अभी कस्टमर के एड्रेस पे जा रहा हूँ पर सेकंड फ्लोर पे. ये जल्दी से ऑर्डर देता हूँ एंड फिर तुम लोगों को बताता हूँ कि भाई मेरी आज की अर्निंग की.
देखो भाई 15 रुपए मिले यहाँ के. चलो कोई ना फिर भी ठीक ठाक ही है.
762 रुपए और घंटे देख रहे हो मैंने 15 घंटे होने वाले मेरे को.
भाई मजाक भी नहीं कर रहा हूँ सीरियसली भाई ब्लिंकिट बहुत कम पैसा दे रहा है भाई बहुत ज्यादा कम.
What you just heard was Thapliaji's post on Instagram, you know, describing his struggle and how much he gets paid for each delivery. Now in a standard corporate job, 15 hours is 2 days of work. And for that marathon of labor, after completing 28 separate deliveries, his net earnings were just 763 rupees. MP Raghav Chadha brought this to the public's attention. He left a post on X, quoting him right now, "This is not a gig economy success story. This is systematic exploitation hidden behind apps and algorithms." Well, he is right. If you break that down, it is about 50 rupees an hour. That is significantly below the minimum wage for unskilled labor in almost every Indian state. But here's the catch. And this is the first glaring angle we need to explore. Companies like Blinkit, Zomato, and Swiggy and of course the other app-based delivery services platform. You know, they do not technically employ these people. You know what they call them? Partners. Partners. It sounds dignified, doesn't it? Partner. It implies equality. It implies that Taplia G and the CEOs of these quick commerce companies are in business together. But does a partner get penalized for taking a bathroom break? Does a partner get deactivated for refusing to drive into a flooded street? This specific case blew up because it shattered the myth of flexibility. You see, the marketing pitch for gig work has always been, you know, flexibility. You be your own boss, work when you want, earn as much as you want. But Taplial's receipt proves that freedom is a mirage. To earn a livable wage, let's say just enough to pay rent and feed a family in a metro city like Bangalore, Delhi, or Mumbai, you cannot work when you want. You have to work all the time. You have to work 15 hours just to scrape by. The algorithm is designed so that if you work a normal 8-hour shift, you might actually lose money after fuel and maintenance. Raghav Chadda called it exploitation hidden behind algorithms. And that is the perfect phrasing, I would say. It's sanitized exploitation. There's no angry factory foreman screaming at you. There is just a silent app, a glowing screen, a notification that says, you missed your target. Try harder tomorrow. Now, let me ask you to zoom out. Because if this was just about that one guy named Taplial, it would be a tragedy, but not necessarily a systematic crisis. But this is not an isolated incident. According to a report by Niti Aayog, India has about 7.7 million gig workers in 2020-2021. Now, that number is staggering. It's more than the population of many European countries. But hold on, because that projection is going to be even wilder. Niti Aayog estimates this workforce will triple to 23.5 million by 2029-2030. We're talking about a workforce size that rivals the entire organized formal sector of India. Why is this happening? It's the collision of two massive forces. Force one is unemployment. We have a massive youth population, the demographic dividend, entering the workforce every year. Traditional jobs in manufacturing or corporate sectors aren't growing fast enough to absorb them all. So, for millions of young men and women, the gig economy isn't a side hustle or a choice. It is the only option. It is the refugee camp of the labor market. Force number two, the digital boom. India has some of the cheapest mobile data in the world. Smartphone penetration is sky high. We have created a consumer class that demands instant gratification. Think about it. We want our biryani or our momos in less than 20, 30 minutes and our groceries in under 10 minutes. Now, when these two forces collide, you get a system where millions of desperate workers are fighting for the scraps tossed by millions of impatient consumers. Niti Aayog's report was actually quite optimistic in its tone, calling this a booming sector. But we have to ask, booming for whom? If we're building an economy where 23 million people have no pension, no health insurance, no job security, and are earning 50 rupees or less an hour, are we building a superpower or are we building a ticking time bomb for social unrest? See, we cannot have a first world digital infrastructure resting on a third world labor practice, right? Eventually, the foundation will crack. Let's get technical for a moment here. I want to explain how this exploitation works, because it's fascinatingly evil. It's what sociologists call algorithmic management. In a traditional job, you have a contract. You know your hourly rate. If you work 8 hours, you get paid for 8 hours. But in the gig economy, the pay is something what we call gamified. Imagine a video game where you have to collect coins to unlock the next level. That is exactly how these apps are designed. They use incentives to manipulate behavior. Now, here's a common scenario. The app tells a rider, complete 15 orders today and get 500 rupee bonus. Now, what does the rider do? He starts working towards it, right? He does 10 orders. He's tired. It's raining. He wants to go home, but he looks at the app. He's done 10 and he needs to do 5 more to get that bonus. If he goes home now, he earns a pittance. If he pushes through the exhaustion, he makes a decent wage. So he continues to push. This is the psychological trap. The base pay per delivery has been steadily dropping over the years, from 40 or 50 rupees a few years ago to sometimes even as low as 15 or 20 rupees today. The only way to make money is to chase the incentives. And the algorithm knows this. It knows exactly how much to dangle in front of the worker to keep them on the road during peak hours, during rain, during festivals. Furthermore, there is this rating system. I remember, every time, I've been handed a delivery, the agent says, "Sir, please give me a 5-star rating." And if a customer gives a 1-star rating, maybe the food was cold or the restaurant was late, things which are totally out of the rider's or the delivery agent's control, the delivery agent's score drops. Now, if this score drops below a certain threshold, the algorithm stops giving them orders. Now, this is what's called shadow banning. They are fired, but nobody tells them they are fired. The app just goes silent. This creates a culture of fear. Riders will break traffic laws, drive on sidewalks, and risk their lives to deliver that package in 10 minutes. Not because they love speed. It's because they are terrified of the algorithm. They are terrified of that 1-star rating. I commonly see, memes from, different police departments, showing how they caught a delivery agent with, a humongous, traffic violation bill. So think about it. All that signal jumps, all that pedestrian driving and all of that, where does it stem from? From the fear of being banned on the app. For these delivery agents, target isn't just a number. It's a moving goalpost set by a black box AI that maximizes profit for the company while minimizing the payout to the human. So is anyone doing anything about this? Or are we just shouting into the void? Actually, this is where the story gets interesting. We are currently in the middle of a massive legal tug of war in India. For decades, Indian labor laws were clear. You either are an employee, the one with rights to Provident Fund, ESI, gratuity, or you are unemployed. There was no middle ground. Then came the Code on Social Security 2020. This was a landmark piece of legislation by the central government. For the first time in India, in Indian history, the law officially recognized gig workers and platform workers as a distinct category. But the implementation has been slow. However, the real momentum shifted recently. We cannot shift without looking at the catalyst. Enter Rahul Gandhi. You might remember the visuals from the Karnataka elections where Rahul Gandhi riding as a pillion on a delivery scooter in Bangalore or sharing a masala dosa with a group of Dunzo and Swiggy workers at a local eatery. At the time, critics dismissed it as photo op. But if you look at the policy outcome, it was much more than that. It was during these unscripted interactions that workers showed him their earnings apps, explaining how they were one accident away from bankruptcy. Mr. Gandhi took these grievances and turned them into a central political plank, framing gig workers not as partners, but as hardworking Indian laborers deserving the fruits of their labor. This direct attention forced the issue onto the manifesto. It signaled a massive shift. The invisible driver suddenly had a seat at the political high table. And we saw the immediate impact of that pressure in Rajasthan. In 2023, following this political push, Rajasthan passed the Rajasthan Platform-Based Gig Workers Registration and Welfare Act. This is a pioneering law, arguably the first of its kind in the world. Here's what it does. It sets up a welfare board with representatives from the government, the companies, who are the aggregators, and the workers. It creates a welfare fund. And most importantly, it levies a cess, a tax on every single transaction on these apps. So every time you order something, say in Jaipur, a tiny percentage of that bill goes directly into a fund for the workers' social security. This validates the promise Gandhi made regarding a 3,000 crore rupee welfare corpus for workers. It's a model that shifts power dynamic and forces companies to share their data. Other states like Karnataka and Telangana are now looking at this model. So the tweet by Raghav Chadha is part of this wider political momentum. Parties across the spectrum, AAP, Congress and others, are realizing that you cannot ignore a voting bloc of 23 million people. The gig worker is no longer invisible politically. They're organizing. They are forming unions like the Indian Federation of App-Based Transport Workers, IFAT. And now they have the year of top political leadership. So we've talked about money, laws and algorithms. But let me close the analysis by bringing it back to the visceral human cost. The 10-minute delivery model, which Blinkit, Zepto, Zomato and others are pushing, is frankly dangerous. There is no way to safely navigate Indian traffic and deliver a package, say 10 minutes, consistently. It is physically impossible without breaking the law. So when a company promises 10 minutes or free, they are essentially putting a gun to the head of the rider, the delivery agent. The agent knows that if he's late, he gets yelled at, rated poorly, or penalized. We've seen horrific incidents and accidents. Young men, barely out of their teens, dying on their bikes because they were checking a map while speeding to meet a deadline. And when they crash, who pays? Remember, they are partners. Until very recently, most of these companies offered zero insurance. Now, some offer basic accident coverage, but claiming it's a bureaucratic nightmare. If a rider breaks a leg, he doesn't get sick leave. He just stops earning. Like Taplialji, the man whose earnings started this conversation, earning just 763 rupees in 15 hours. If he had gotten a flat tire that day, that repair cost would have come off out of his pocket, wiping out half of his daily wage. If he had fallen sick from exhaustion, he would have earned zero. Right now, the message from the gig economy is clear. You are disposable. If you break, we will just onboard the next person from the wait list. So where do we go from here? I might have just painted a grim picture, but we need to understand how to navigate it. The gig economy isn't going away. We aren't going to stop ordering food or taking cabs, but the model has to change. You know, for the policymakers, the Rajasthan model needs to go national. We need the code on social security implemented now. We need a legal definition of a fair wage for gig workers that accounts for fuel, vehicle depreciation, and waiting time. For the companies, aggregators, the charade around the word partner has to end. Come on, guys. It's not fair. If you control their login, their incentives, their route, and their price, you are an employer. Own up to it. Provide a minimum guarantee. Stop the 10-minute madness before more people die. And for you and me, the listeners, next time we see a delivery partner, let's look at them. I mean, really look at them. They're not bots, drones, or non-living things. They are Taplialji. They are fathers, brothers, sons. If your order is 5 minutes late, please don't rate them one star. If it's pouring rain, tip them generously if you can. Cash is always king. And use your voice on social media. When politicians like Raghav Chadha and Rahul Gandhi raise these issues, support the conversation. Public pressure is the only thing that can scare these algorithms. The digital economy is amazing, but it shouldn't be at the cost of our humanity. That's the view for today. You know, before I sign off, I also have a small favor to ask, like how our gig worker friends do. Sir, rating, please. Yes, please do make sure you follow this episode. And if you can, please do leave a rating. I spend hours researching on these deep dives, you know, trying to dig into data, reading the laws, verifying stories. I believe that knowing the truth is the first step to changing it. So today, if this episode gave you a new perspective, or if it made you pause and think about the human being behind your next delivery, then please hit that follow button on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to these episodes. It sounds small, but that helps the algorithm find us. Ironic, I know. We can keep bringing you these stories. And more importantly, share this episode. Send it to your family WhatsApp group. You know, they're always buzzing with these forward messages and good morning messages. Share this along with that. You know, the takeaway that I probably would like to say to my listeners is that, you know, let's try and not just be consumers. Let us be conscious citizens. I'm Nelson John. Thank you for giving me your time. I'll catch you in the next episode.